Well, good afternoon. This is the Friday Report. It's 10 past one on Isle of Wight Radio, and we're here to take you through till 2 o'clock today. On the show, Geoff Lumley, Labour councillor for the Isle of Wight Council, Lee Hodgson from the CAB, and East Cowes Mayor Mike Lloyd. And don't forget, across the course of the next 50 minutes or so, you can comment on what's being said and you can have your say. You can find us on Facebook, leave a message there. You can tweet us, we're at iWhite Radio, or you can text us 82177, start your message IW and then a space, and we will put some of your points to the people here in the studio. Loads to talk about. So with a very brisk good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Yeah, good. Thank you very much.
Brilliant. Well, thank you all for joining me in the studio. This is the Friday Report. We've got lots to talk about. It's a look at what's been going on the Isle of Wight over the past week. And we kind of have to start with the most topical thing today, which I think is the scrutiny committee meeting, which took place last night. Now, for those of you that maybe haven't heard it in the news, members of the Isle of Wight Council's scrutiny committee voted to recommend the authority set aside a decision to fund major projects, including Totland and the Undercliff last night. It's because they say the report on which that decision was based was flawed and partially incomplete. They felt projects in Shanklin, for example, among others, haven't been given due consideration. The decision's now got to go back to the executive members, who've got to decide whether or not to support it. The only councillor on the scrutiny committee to oppose the deferral was Juliet Baker-Smith, and she told me earlier today that she's concerned it'll cause unnecessary hold-ups. You'll have heard her speaking in the Isle of Wight today, but I just wanted to play it out for the gentleman in the studio, so we'll have a listen to what she has to say today.
Well, I very much feel that the projects that were included last night to be set aside were going to cause unnecessary delays. Things like the attenuation works at Binstead Cemetery really do need to be done in a prompt manner. And to be setting aside things such as that, things that we don't require further information on, I didn't feel was the best way forward. I totally agree that setting aside the decision on Rush Close and on Cowes Enterprise College is extremely sensible at this moment in time until we have full information and full financial information. But to be setting aside other decisions and to be delaying decisions isn't a sensible way forward.
There was a fear that there is only one pot of money and that allocating that to some things based on the fact that some of the figures wasn't available for others might not have been the way forward, that perhaps different decisions would have been made had there been a full list of figures in front of councillors on the night of those decisions.
That's correct, but the entire pot wouldn't be spent on these projects, and an amount of money would be set aside. And although in some ways we don't know how much that's going to be moving forward, we still have to continue with the projects that we do know about at this time.
So that was Councillor Juliet Baker-Smith speaking to me earlier today. Geoff Lumley, obviously going to come to you first on this one. You were, of course, at the scrutiny committee last night. Just a reaction to what Julia was saying there.
OK, well, firstly, Lucy, just to say hello. I didn't say hello earlier.
Hello.
I am here, everybody. Well, Julia would say that, to be frank, and I thought your question was absolutely fair. There's a limited amount of money to spend on these projects. Julia is a member of the committee that I have the privilege to chair, and she's a very loyal member of the administration, so she's not going to rock too many boats. It's my job to rock boats and other members of the committee. There's a very limited budget for these projects. I think we have to put aside the Cowes Enterprise College issue because that's so huge, that's going to have to be dealt with separately. But the budget is less than £2 million and there's massive demands on that. And I think what my committee was saying last night is that you shouldn't decide how you're going to divvy up that cake. If I can use that as a phrase.
Cake's always good.
Exactly.
I'm always a fan of that.
You shouldn't decide how you're going to divvy up that cake until you know how big everybody's appetite is. And to be frank, we don't know what the appetite is regarding Rush Close in Shanklin, regarding Shanklin Lift, two major capital projects that we still haven't got the money that the costings has decided upon. So all we're asking the executive to do is to set it aside for a while. Obviously, people in Totland who want some restoration of the seawall walk, people who are living on the Undercliff Drive will be concerned about that. And as obviously we're nearing the winter when these problems really started in both those areas. They want things moving. I don't think it's beyond the wit of the executive to get those sorts of costings in the next month and then make a proper decision how to divvy up that cake. So I think it was the right decision. Whether the executive will listen to us is another matter, because sometimes people think my committee has this all-powerful, you know, power to change decisions. We haven't. We make recommendations. The executive will make the final decision. I hope they'll listen to us. They probably won't.
It's a very utopian thing to say, though, that all projects are created equal and that equal weight has to be given to all of them when you've got bits of the island falling into the sea with people's homes attached and, you know, big campaign groups supported by hundreds of people marching through the streets. Should some priority not be given in order to expedite some of these projects, to get them moving, to get that money spent? And by making this decision, potentially everything goes back on the shelf for another who knows how many weeks.
Well, you could say that. I like to be utopian personally, Lucy. I try to apply that, but at the end of the day, I'm a politician. It's about how you divide up resources. Now, that's what politics is about. I have a very clear perspective that every voice should be heard. I don't think we've heard fully the voices regarding Rush Close, and certainly I haven't heard of a single word, a voice about Shankland Lift, two significant potential capital expenditure areas. People on Tottlingsea Wall have been very vociferous. People around the Undercliff Drive naturally have been very vociferous. But sometimes you don't hear all the voices. I think you should listen to all the voices and then make decisions. If that's your utopian, well, that's Jeff Lumley for you.
I'm going to open this up, but I just want to say, I mean, surely that's the point. You've got people who are willing to stand up and fight for their bit of the island. You've got, if people don't fight for it, you know, are they that worried, genuinely?
That's a fair point as well. And as before I ever became a councillor, I spent a lot of time fighting for things, but so with varying degrees of success. I admire people who fight for things. I think it's great that people get involved in their communities and engage with decisions that are going to be made at County Hall. But I'm sure there are people who are concerned about those other areas, and we will hear from them in the weeks to come.
On the list, of course, is the floating bridge, Mike. It was on the list that potentially things are going to stand still again, but East Cowes shouting very loud over the future of the floating bridge. So how do you feel about
that? Indeed they are, and I think they have been for quite a number of years. The bridge, as you know, is something like 38 years old, and we've now been told that there is a possibility that they might be wanting to charge for pedestrian passengers. This has been tried in the past and folded because it proved that it didn't bring in the income that was expected, and in fact there was greater expenditure in collecting. If the current proposal of 50 pence each way were to be imposed, we strongly believe, on the figures that have been produced by council officers, that they would again end up losing money rather than actually gaining money. The bridge clearly makes a profit, somewhere in the region of 150,000 to 200,000 per annum, which gets used now for beach cleaning and parks and so on across the island. To impose a further levy, if you like, on the residents of Cowes and East Cowes, we believe is unfair.
But, I mean, we will come and talk about the floating bridge consultation in more detail shortly. In terms of the floating bridge and that contingency budget, I mean, what was the money being set aside for there as part of that? And how do you feel about the fact that, you know, due to last night's decision, that now could sit on the shelf again for another 3 months?
Well, as you well know, and hopefully your listeners know, through the Solent Local Enterprise Scheme, there was money granted, which admittedly now has to be backed up by good business plans, for £4 million towards a replacement of the floating bridge. Now, whether that's sufficient is a moot point, and obviously council officers are now rapidly doing their calculations to determine whether that's the case or not. 2 or 3 years ago, there was talk of £3 million. So if that was accurate, then £4 million today would seem to be a reasonably accurate figure. What has never happened across the life of the bridge is what accountants would and business people would term amortisation, which is setting aside every year so much towards the future replacement. So obviously that now has to be discussed and looked into. So until officers come up and say, right, the bridge is going to cost us this much, it's very difficult to predict how far we can now go. What we are certain of is that there is a lot of use by pedestrians. Some, as we'll perhaps come on to later, would be seriously inconvenienced if they start charging. And as I say, we strongly believe that the projected income that they expect to get from charging is in fact flawed and would probably end up with them losing money.
Well, we will come back to that. Let me bring Lee Hodgson in from the CAB. Lee, you obviously have people in talking about their worries and trying to sort of just get through the day.
Yeah.
And a lot of these smaller issues, and we've been talking about Totland and the floating bridge and the Undercliff, but there's a whole pile of other things underneath that are smaller community projects that could potentially miss out. And that's why the scrutiny committee said, well, hang on a second, we should be holding back and giving everything due consideration. Are those the concerns that people are coming with you? Do they come in and cite community issues and community concerns and what's going on up the street to you?
I think it just goes deeper than that. I think you know, people are suffering, individuals are suffering on a daily basis, and I think what I mean by that is, you know, a pound to somebody is an awful lot of money. You know, I think it's very difficult for people with maybe a little bit of money or a lot of money to understand how much a pound can actually be to somebody when you have absolutely nothing. And I mean nothing. The people that come and see us have got nothing. They can't necessarily campaign about the local issues in their area because their day-to-day troubles take over, feeding their family, paying their rent, where do they get the next pound from? How do they travel to work the next morning when they've got no money? How do they give their children some food? How do they buy them new school uniforms? They're questions that the families on the Isle of Wight are struggling to answer on a daily basis. So I think there's a huger issue at stake, and maybe the campaigning isn't at the forefront of those individuals' minds because surviving is at the forefront of those individuals' minds.
So where do we go from here, though? The whole thing's, you know, back on the shelf. Potentially the executive could turn around and go, do you know what, we're going to move on. We made a decision in good faith. But they might turn around and say, OK, you've got a point. I mean, at what point are we going to spend the money? It has to be spent. These projects have to be delivered. Jeff Lumley.
Yes. Well, it doesn't have to be spent. There's a budget there, and I mean, I take a very keen interest in the council's budget, and maybe we can have one of these shows just to talk about the budget nearer the time. But you don't have to spend the money. The money has been budgeted for capital expenditure. This is the residue that's left, just under £2 million. I will say that some of the smaller items were recommended for passing through last night, including the small amount needed to facilitate the renewal of the floating bridge in the future. But it was the bigger ones we were concerned, Undercliff, Totland, Seawall. Julius Baker-Smith referred to the flooding attenuation works, it had been said, cemetery, things like that, which are a bit larger. We've said, have another think, and when you've got all the information about other schemes. I'd just like to comment on what Lee said, because in the scale of things, what happened last night, whilst very important, to my mind, it doesn't matter to a hill of beans compared to these problems that Lee and people at the Advice Centre deal with. I represent one of the two most deprived wards on the Isle of Wight, Newport East. I'm very proud and privileged to represent it. But if you look across Coppens Bridge from your Advice Centre, what do you see, Lee? You see a food bank.
Yeah.
And that's at the church on the roundabout in my ward. And that represents the sort of society we're living in at the moment. And as one of the richest countries in the world, I think we should be ashamed that we have food banks. And laughably, our MP works there. And I think, what on earth has happened to this country? And yet we're arguing here about nice walks around Totland, about, I know there's issues for people in the Undercliff, but if you're living on benefit with a family and you've got bills to pay, a pound is a lot of money, and it's absolutely right. And I could sit and listen to that sort of discussion with Lee throughout this programme, because that's what actually rings my bells a lot more than what we talked about last night.
However, in defence of a working family where both parents are working, why shouldn't they be able to take their children out for a walk around Totland seafront and enjoy it? They put the money in. They want to go out at the weekend and see what's there. You know, why sort of take that away from them?
Well, as I think as a Newport councillor, You know, I'll always say we contributed to a potential contract for beach cleaning, even though we have no beaches, because we have a choice of beaches. There isn't just Hotland. Now, that's not me saying you don't want to renew the city wall at all, so I hope nobody gets the wrong end of the stick. But there are always choices. This is an island, and it's never very far from a beach or a sea walk.
All right. I think unless anyone's got anything to add, I'm going to move on slightly, and I'm going to just shift things around to get, in terms of, you know, what order we'll talk about, because I think this will probably fit better given the way the conversation's gone. The Isle of Wight Council's executive is to consider proposals to change how it treats additional expenses related to disability when it meets next week. It's held a consultation earlier this year. 1,298 people took part, as well as some key stakeholders. Currently, people get a flat rate allowance of £10 a week to meet additional costs due to their disability. That's now under review. It could potentially be taken away from some people altogether. It could be less for some people. Your thoughts really on initially on what that's going to mean for people who vote for you, for people who you speak to, for people who you know in your local area?
I think fundamentally, really, I think there's a huge issue with kind of means-tested disability payments at the minute anyway. I mean, the disability living allowance is changed into personal independent payments, and the whole concept is flawed. I mean, it's totally flawed. It's not a fair process. I attended a meeting with ATOS earlier. I think it was actually very late last year, because we had some major concerns with how it was going. And their whole process, our whole flowchart of how the application process goes, is absolutely based on the form that's filled out at the very beginning of the process. Now, if that form's not filled out correctly and the evidence isn't presented in the way that the person evaluating the form wants to see it, not necessarily it's the right evidence, but the way they want to see it, it doesn't go any further and kind of falls out of the loop. They had a figure that they said to me was that 25% of people transferring from DLA to PIP or applying for personal independent payments will only have to go as far as putting a form in, because they should then get the payment after that. They're under 3%. There's a huge disparity between where they want to be and where they're actually delivering. And I don't know where the council's payments fall into that scheme. Are they reliant on the personal independent payments? Are they relying on those assessments? I don't really understand how their process is going to work within that. And it'd be quite nice to have some clarity on that. But I think the whole process at the minute with disability means-tested payments is flawed.
I mean, in all seriousness, £10 a week, how much difference does that really make?
I think when you've got nothing, it makes a huge difference. Mm. I mean, you know, Jeff spoke about the food bank earlier on, and I'm not a political animal, and I'm very keen to remain impartial and independent. So, you know, that's my point. But the food banks are a horrible thing for us to have in the country, let alone on the island. And, you know, if you look at their statistics, there's more and more working families going to the food banks because their costs are rising. And, you know, we know that interest rates by 2018 are going to go up to around 3%. And I think the figures are something like, if it goes up by a percent, that's almost doubled your repayments. And I think it adds about £150 to the average person's mortgage payments, which puts something like 4 million homes at risk in the country, which is a huge issue, you know. And that, alongside other things coming in, I mean, where our funding's always been reduced. Every year we get some cuts or we don't get some funding because there's not enough money to go around, and we have to make the money we get do more. And ultimately, we're not going to be in a position to help as many people as we're currently helping, and we're going to have more people that need our help, and that's a major concern for us.
Jeff, I mean, is this, I don't want to put words in your mouth here, but is this a decision that's going to be called in 2 weeks' time if it goes through? Is there enough here to argue about decide to?
I think I can safely say it won't be. We pre-considered it last night, as we always do, all items going to the executive the following week. We looked at it, and our recommendation was to support it with heavy heart, and we don't normally put that sort of qualification, but that's how we felt, and that was a unanimous decision. And you remember, my committee consists of Independents, Conservatives, Labour and UKIP, and that was a unanimous recommendation, because whilst we prefer to leave in place the £10 universal discount, in effect, before the means testing is done around other assessed payments that the council deals with, we realise that we can't continue to do that, given the sort of budgetary financial situation that the council's in. People probably get bored with the fact that I keep referring to the fact we've got to save, including this year, £28 million. And within the budget that I voted for in February, and the overwhelming majority of councillors of all parties voted for in February, was a savings proposal in this area for £300,000. That required us to move from a universal disregard on this £10 to a means tested. There is some discretion there, because some people with disabilities can't collect all the receipts and everything easily. They'll lose them and so there is discretion built into it. So it's not a you must provide the receipts or you won't get the discount. But we've had to move to that. It's a sort of thing, Lucy, to be honest, I can't believe that I'm even voting for, at this time. 5 years ago, if you said to me you'd be voting for this, Jeff Lumley, I would say don't be daft. I believe in universal benefit, but such is the way the world is working now against local authorities in particular, you have no choice, because I and 39 other councillors have to deliver a balanced budget this year, next year, the year after, and for the foreseeable future.
And I think, Jeff, I just think that's a really fair point. I think, reality has to hit home, and I come from the commercial world. I don't come from the charitable sector. I'm a businessman. I've worked in commercial, very high level at commercial businesses, and I understand how businesses work. And the council ultimately is a business, and they have to save money. And I think the reality is that funding's going to get cut everywhere. Now, we're preparing for that. I've come in from the commercial world and gone, hang on a minute, right, X amount of years' time, we have to be in a certain position to be able to deliver services, better efficiency, more cost-effective to as many people as possible. And not everybody likes the decisions I'm making, and I understand that, but reality dictates that we haven't got £5 million to help the Isle of Wight population. We've got, at the minute, it's not much over 100,000 that we get from the local authority, which helps us do it. But it's an important amount of money, and as long as we use that money well with the other funding we get, we can still help as many people as possible. And I think, I think the idea of the scrutiny committee is a really good one. I think it shows transparency and gives the other parties a voice, and also allows kind of a fair process. So from a non-political person looking in, I quite like the idea of the scrutiny committee.
But how do you feel, though, that Jeff said, we can't oppose this. This is a decision that has to be made. We're going to take away that £10, we're going to means test it. People are going to lose out.
They are.
They're going to be at your door.
I don't like it. I hate it. I hate the fact that our budget's getting cut. I hate the fact that it's harder for people to get help when they want it. I hate the fact that we're getting young homeless people through our door on a daily basis and there's no help we can give them. There's nothing we can do for them. We can't give them a bit of paper to go somewhere else and get help. We're sitting there going, I'm really sorry, there's nothing we can do. Where are they going to go? They're going to go to a skip, maybe go to the Salvation Army and get a tent. There's absolutely nothing we can do for them. But unfortunately, you can't. There's not a money tree available. There's no money that somebody can pick up a magic. I wish they could, I really do. And I'm sure Jeff's the same, and I'm sure the independents who are in charge at the minute feel the same way, but they can't. They can't do it. Reality dictates it, and there isn't. You have £10 in your pocket. You can't make it 30 or £40. It's £10, and you've got to make that stretch as far as you can.
Mike Lloyd, where are the town and parish councils on this? Is there no leeway in more local budgets to help local people?
That would be nice. Not that I've heard anything coming that way at the present time.
Be the leader. You could stand up today and go, we're going to help out.
Yes. I think going back to what Jeff and others were saying about means testing, I must admit I've always been violently opposed to means testing for any sorts of benefits, because I don't think necessarily that it works, because there are people who are afraid of doing means tests and, as you were saying, filling in forms and so on. But then again, obviously, there is the budget issue which Jeff's been alluding to. If we could try to do more locally, then I'm sure we would. But as we are having park maintenance, beach maintenance, toilet maintenance and so on, so forth, lots of other things being directed in our towards us at the local level, I'm not sure that we would have the resources to be able to be effective.
One last question before we have a break and we move on. Is this not a bit divide and conquer? Instead of standing all together and saying, let's prioritise the important stuff, let's make sure people keep what they want. We're so busy worrying about our individual little island and bit of the island and, and the bit of the parish council has to fund here and the bit of the Isle of Wight. Surely things are dropping through the net in between that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
I totally agree with that as well.
I believe Newport Parish Council, I'm also on that. You know, our decision about beaches, people have laughed at us. Some people, quite a lot of people have stopped me in the street and said, well done, Jeff. Because we looked at it's a problem for the whole island. The beaches are the Isle of Wight. I live on the Isle of Wight. I happen to live in Newport on the Isle of Wight. But I go to a meeting about the floating bridge in East Cowes, which Mike chaired, because I'm interested. If there's a meeting in Sandown about something that affects the island, I go there. I mean, I know I like meetings, you know, and I like the sound of my own voice, but I do take an interest in everything that's going on. Yeah. I'm not entirely about parochialism. There is too much parochialism. And, you know, I read the media, the printed media today, you know, and the number of town and parish councillors are saying, oh, we're not taking on beach cleaning, even though they've got a beach down the road, or, you know, we're not going to have anything to do with toilets or cutting the grass. The thing is, I don't think they actually get it. It won't be done otherwise, because the Isle of Wight Council doesn't have to do it. They are discretionary services. And your council tax and the government support that we get has to be spent primarily on safeguarding children, children's education, and caring for older and vulnerable people. They are the statutory services. They cost a fortune, and there will be very little left.
All right. Okay. I think it's time to move on. We're going to have a break. I kind of feel like we should be going out and buying a few bags of sand to put around Newport Quay so that Newport gets his own beach. Let's take a break.
The Friday Report. Getting to the heart of island issues. Isle of Wight Radio.
Good afternoon. This is The Friday Report. Don't forget, you can get in touch over the next 20 minutes or so. Hashtag Friday Report on Twitter. We're at iWhite Radio. On the text, IW space message. Send it in to 81222. And you can leave a comment on Facebook as well. It's pinned at the top of our Facebook page there. So if you would like to have your say, now's the time to do it. We've already spoken about a number of things, but lots of things still to go. And we've been already mentioning in the course of other discussions the floating bridge consultation underway, most affecting Cowes and East Cowes. But the Isle of Wight Council insisting it affects everybody because tourists go and stay in Ventnor and they come and use the floating bridge, and people obviously come off the ferries and use the floating bridge. So the consultation is an island-wide one and it is ongoing. So on the panel today, Lee Hodgson from the CAB, East Cowes Mayor Mike Lloyd and Councillor Jeff Lumley. How are we feeling about the floating bridge consultation? Mike, I'll start with you as it's your patch.
Right, thank you. There's general unhappiness across the town, and I think that's reflected in Cowes as well. You will notice from the headlines on the county press that there was a large protest rally.
Reported on Isle of Wight Radio, yes,
as well.
DJ,
yes.
You can see the photos.
The pictures were there, yeah. On Tuesday, which was remarkably well attended, which was very gratifying for everybody. One of the contentions, I think, with this is that it is unclear, by the council's own figures, exactly how many pedestrians they are expecting to be able to charge. They say that they've got something like 420 vehicles at now £2.20 per car, and more for lorries, less for motorbikes, etc. But it is unclear how many pedestrians. And if they are looking to charge those pedestrians 50 pence, we believe that there will be an element of attrition. So, in other words, probably one in five people will choose not to take the ferry, and they have their bus pass and they will travel round, which will cost the Isle of Wight Council more money than they're actually getting in from their foot passengers. This has been demonstrated previously when they had charges on the bridge that it didn't add up, and it cost more to get the money than it actually brought in as a benefit to the coffers. At the moment, it is unclear how much the Isle of Wight Council are predicting the cost of collection will be. Figures of 100,000 and more have been bandied around. We believe that the overall net effect, once you've taken off things like the attrition and other benefits that they might be agreeable to releasing, that the income they will get will in fact end up with a net loss over the current budget. Now, I think you were there when we had a meeting. Jeff obviously was, public meeting. And there were two most eloquent speakers from the audience. One gentleman who lives in Cowes with his wife, through no fault of their own, they're now redundant. The child comes to school in East Cowes. At 50 pence, it would cost them £10 a week to bring their child to school.
But we have had already on this programme lots of discussion about people who are disabled losing their £10 a week allowance, which might be the difference between them getting out of the house for the day and not getting out of the house for the day. We've talked about people who are without anything. Surely 50p on the floating bridge, you know, that's got to be something that gives here, because there's no money in the pot, as we've heard.
Well, yes, you might think so, but as we've heard earlier on, a pound in somebody's pocket who has nothing is a heck of a lot of money. Now, people coming across to work for GKN or whomsoever, £5 a week additional to find. I'd love to be altruistic and say, fine, you know, we will give all that we can give. But we strongly believe that the figures here are incorrect, and that needs to be really looked at, perhaps by Jeff's scrutiny committee and by others, to ensure that any income that they do impose or enforce actually does them a benefit. We believe it won't. We believe strongly that, in fact, the reverse will be true and they will lose money.
Now, the Isle of Wight Council says, as part of the SLEP grant, that may or may not pay in part or in full for the new floating bridge, which we don't know the cost of yet. As part of that condition, they might need us to be putting money aside that we're paying forward towards a replacement floating bridge in another 30 years' time.
Yes.
That doesn't seem unreasonable, and it doesn't seem unreasonable to ask people to pay towards that. Jeff Lumley, I mean, the floating bridge, you were at that meeting. It's a big issue. Is it a big issue for people in Newport, aside from the fact that we should all pull together? Realistically, someone walking down Newport High Street, do they really care whether someone in East Cowes is paying 50p for the floating bridge?
It depends where they live in Newport. And I'm entirely biased. I live on Fairley Road in Newport. And believe you me, if the floating bridge isn't used well and people are using buses and cars, they go past my door. It's already bad enough. But I would just say, the whole floating bridge issue, it's an intriguing one for me, and it's one I've spent a lot of time thinking about, because my instinct is always to say, why should a pedestrian have to pay to use a bridge? You know, that's my fundamental issue.
Yep.
Cowes and East Cowes, I know they're separate towns.
People in Wales would say that.
But I know what you're saying, but my fundamental principle is, why should you have to pay? And it's always been a contentious issue. However, as I've also referred to, the £28 million, you know, which is not an elephant in the room when I'm there, I'll talk about it all the time. We need to deal with it. And if, realistically, money can be raised by charges on the floating bridge, then I'm prepared to look at it very carefully and even endeavour to persuade people of the merits of it if it helps protect other services like the ones you've just referred to, Lucy. However, I don't think any of this stacks up. I haven't looked at it that closely. I've got members of my scrutiny committee have said, we've got a task group looking at it at this moment. Councillor Blessard is leading on that for me. He's a member of the committee. They're looking at that, along with Councillor Baker-Smith, who we heard from earlier, who's a local member in East Cowes. They're going to be looking at all the figures with officers just to see whether it stacks up. But the key thing is, if you're a pensioner and you live a little distance from the floating bridge in East Cowes, and you want to go to Cowes, and it's a wet, rainy day, and you're going to have to pay a pound to get there and back, and you've got a bus pass, it's easier for you to jump on a bus, which will the bus journey to Newport will be reimbursed at the value of over £3 to Southern Vectors, another bus to Cowes, another £3, return Cowes to Newport, another £3, and then Newport back to East Cowes, £3. Simple arithmetic, over £12 that journey will cost. So really, are we going to be able to save that sort of money? I don't think we are, which is why I have committed that my committee will look very carefully at that and see if there really is any credibility in what has been suggested. One final thing I would say, we would have had the charges in place this year if it hadn't been the fact that myself and Councillor Hollams, the other Labour councillor, we did a budget amendment in February that stopped charges being implemented this year, which was part and parcel of why we all paid 1.99% increase on our council tax.
If you've got a free bus pass, why wouldn't you go to Newport? It's got more facilities, it's got more banks, it's got more things to do. Why wouldn't you just stop in Newport, you know, do what you need to do and then come back to East Cowes again? Why would it even be part of your worry whether the floating bridge is 50p? You just change your plans anyway.
Everybody's cup of tea. I mean, it's the capital of the island. I love Newport. I've lived in Newport for nearly 25 years and I'm quite happy there. But it's not everybody's cup of tea. Cowes and East Cowes have always had this linkage. You know, I used to live in Cowes when I first came to the island. I used to spend quite a lot of time going over to East Cowes and, you know, I knew people in East Cowes who met me for a beer in Cowes and such like. And, you know, to be frank, the pubs are better in Cowes and if you live in East Cowes, you know, as I go and have a beer with another council.
There's people throwing things at the radio, right? You know, possibly beer glasses.
They're very closely linked, you know, and I just think you're creating an artificial divide. Give people the choice, but I just don't think the figures stack up, Lucy. If they did, believe you me, I would be arguing that we have to do it, just as last night, with a heavy heart, I supported the disability means charges means testing rather than universal payments.
Lee Hodgson, again, another thing that's going to affect the people that turn up at your door saying, look, we're really struggling.
I think it probably presents a different issue, really, because I think there'll be options for people if it becomes financially unable for them to travel. There's probably options for them. But actually, that it adds barriers. I think, like Jeff said, you know, you're looking at on the island already, we have an ageing population and social isolation on the island is a huge issue. And you know, Age UK, I think it's been in the paper, have secured some funding, significant funding to assist with social isolation. And any barriers you put in the way of people who are already socially isolated, who may get on the ferry just for a walk around Cowes to see people and mingle and maybe an old friend or an old colleague or, you know, just to sit on the seafront with an ice cream or have a cup of coffee, it gets them out of the house, you know. The suicide rate in older men is really high. Mm. You know, and if we start putting barriers to people to be not able to socialise in the way they always have done, we could actually start to put more barriers and there'd be more social isolation instead of less social isolation. So I think from my perspective, it's more about that than it may be about the prohibitive cost, because I think there'll be options. There's other schools, there's other jobs, there's other places to go. But that social isolation is a big issue.
Okay, well, that floating bridge consultation continues. You can see pictures from that protest earlier this week on the website, and you can find a link there as well that will take you through to the consultation. I guess, Mike, the message for you is fill it in, have your say.
Yes, absolutely. And I wouldn't presume to tell people how to answer it, but I'm sure they can get a strong hint.
I think we'll leave it there. Let's have another break. We'll be back in a second.
The Friday Report. Getting to the heart of island issues. Isle of Wight Radio. Friday Report with Lucy Morgan on Isle of Wight Radio.
Well, as ever, we've got enough material really to keep talking for another hour, but time is ticking along, so we're going to finish with something slightly lighter. Online music videos could be given the same sort of age ratings as movies to stop kids from watching things that are inappropriate. Sony, Warner, Universal have all signed up, and also backing it is the former Spice Girl Emma Bunton.
I think there should be an age limit on them. I look at that and I think, wow, beautiful bodies. But I think as I've got youngsters and they wouldn't be watching these videos.
So, beautiful bodies or slightly inappropriate content, gentlemen. Lee Hodgson from the CAB, Mike Lloyd, East Cowes Mayor, Jeff Lumley, Labour Councillor, on the show. Age ratings on music videos.
I think it's like anything, isn't it? You can't take the responsibility away from the individuals and the individual parents. And, you know, censorship is one of them things that's always going to cause contention. I mean, you've only got to look back at the ages for things like Young Ones that was on about 8 or 9 o'clock at night on BBC Two. You watch that again and you realise that censorship didn't really exist back in the day. Mm. And I just think, yeah, YouTube makes it more accessible, but come on, take charge of your kids. If you don't want them to watch something, tell them you don't want them to watch it.
How do you do that, though, if they've got iPhones and they're you know, out and about surfing stuff on 3G?
Look, we all did it when we were kids, I'm sure.
Not on iPhones.
No. But I'm sure there were things that we shouldn't have done as kids and we did do as kids, you know, and that's how you learn, isn't it? That's life.
I got
life.
To age your 10 when I was 15, which was life, totally illegal.
You can't take life experiences away from kids, can you? You know, you teach them as a parent right from wrong. I've got a 14-year-old lad I believe I've taught him right from wrong and try and make him, allow him to make his own path in the world. And if he chooses a wrong thing to do, he'll learn.
Yeah.
As long as it's not too wrong, you know, but I hope he chooses right more often than wrong.
Yeah. And so
I
think trusting.
Everybody trust, as a parent knows, if you say to a child, you can't do that, what does the child go and do? Exactly that. So I'm anti any sort of censorship, as Lee has suggested. It is down to parental control. How you instill that, and in, I really don't have an answer.
But there is so much more available to kids now, and it is literally at the press of a button.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's going to be done. Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking about this. I mean, how are you... How are these companies going to stop anybody watching it online? You know, I mean, is it going to be you have to tick a box to say you're over a certain age? I mean, anybody can do that.
Yes.
I mean, how are you actually going to do it? Lee and Mike are absolutely right. I mean, it's about parental advice, parental guidance, et cetera, et cetera. But I just think, that, to be frank, it's one of these things that, you know, that that elements of the media make a, you know, a big fuss about, you know, but I can't see how it will work, to be honest. And it is, it smacks of a level of censorship.
Yeah, and I have to say, actually, my son at 14 year old doesn't watch many music videos on YouTube. Yeah. He watches the gaming channels, he watches people's channels. Are they going to censor absolutely everything? Yeah. Because if you censor the music videos, you've then got to censor the YouTube channels. Yeah. And people make a living from YouTube. Then you start actually affecting the economy, because they're making hundreds of thousands of pounds, if not millions, from YouTube. So it comes down to just good old-fashioned parenting.
So to clarify then, we're all totally disagreeing with Emma Bunton here.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Controversial point. Lee Hodgson from the CAB, Mike Lloyd from East Cowes Town Mayor, and Jeff Lumley, Labour Councillor for the Isle of Wight Council and Newport Councillor. Thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you.
This has been the Friday Report. Same time next week, 1 till 2, and you can have your say then via Twitter, via Facebook, and via text as well. On the radio next, Tom Stroud taking you through drive time. And John Weeks has the headlines for 2 o'clock next.
The Friday Report with Lucy Morgan on Isle of Wight Radio.